Hey, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I've got some pictures to show you that'll illustrate this. You're gonna love it here. This picture right here could have been taken 100 years ago. And yet you look at the one today and it looks like things are just the same, right? A boy, a dog, and his laptop, right? A boy and his laptop are not easily separated. I wonder what they're watching together. You think they're watching cat videos? Check this out. This picture is of a ring bearer and a flower girl who eventually, years later, become the bride and the groom. They look exactly the same, right? And then this is probably my favorite one. It's a man and his daughter and his dog and his cat. And you got to look at the pictures here because over different years and different settings, but the more things change, boy, the more they stay the same. I'm sure you've heard that phrase, right? The one constant in life is change. But we also have this phrase, the more things change, the more they stay the same. So the question is, which is it? Which one is true, right? See, when it comes to God, he is unchanging, right? And we've been looking at this unchanging nature of God in this very short series that we've been doing. Glenn reminded us last week that God is sovereign. And that just means God has a plan. And he has the power to execute that plan, and nothing stops God from his plans, right? The key verse for our series is this. It's out of James chapter 1. It says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. That verse starts with whatever is good. And this week I want to talk about God's goodness, the unchanging nature of God is goodness. That's who he is. Now, if you've been around church for any length of time, you've probably heard this phrase. It's done often as a responsive reading between like the pastor and the worship leader. And the pastor or worship leader will say, God is good. And the people will say, all the time. And then the pastor will say, and all the time. And the people will say, God is good. Right. Absolutely. Right. And so we know that. But here's the question. I mean, is he? Is he all the time? I mean, is God really good when you're in pain? Or is God really good when there's deep conflict in your life? Is God really good when you're depressed or stressed or worried or just under attack? Scripture says in Psalm 100, verse 5, it says, for the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues forever. And his faithfulness continues to each generation. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
God is good, right? Say it with me at home if you're doing it with us. Okay, forget about you personally. Let's move on from you personally. Let's talk about the things that are out of our control or things that affect many people, right? I mean, is God good when the hurricane makes landfall? Or when the tornado rips through? Is God good when there's famine or drought and people in third world countries are being affected so desperately? Is God good when there is a global pandemic that is really cutting short the lives of some of the most vulnerable? Or when it's taking people out of work and it's putting businesses out of business, really? Is God good all the time? I mean, all the time. Psalm 119 says, you are good and do only good, talking about God. Teach me your decrees. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
God is good. Listen, if you're a believer, maybe you believe that. But maybe, just maybe, you're checking out the faith. You're trying to decide if this Jesus Christ or this Christianity thing is for you. And you may have some nagging questions. I want to talk about that for just a second, right? If God is good and God is sovereign, then here's the big question. Why do bad things happen to good people? And conversely, why do good things happen to bad people? I don't understand the way that works, right? This is one of those unanswerable questions. Like, here's a good example. Why is there no such thing as a B battery? Right? You got A, AA, AAA, you got C, you got D. There's no B batteries. What's that all about? Who knows? If you plan to fail and you succeed, which one did you do? I don't know, right? How about this? How do you respond to someone who says that you're in denial, but you're really not? I don't know how to answer that question, right? And then, of course, the most incredible question of all time is, who let the dogs out? Who? I don't know who let the dogs out. We're going to look at Psalm 73, and I want you to see and kind of take in this whole psalm with me this morning and see how it applies to people and how God deals with some biblical perspective to this question. So grab your Bibles, open it up to Psalm 73. We're going to go all the way through this psalm here, but I would love for you to follow along with me. It says, "Truly God is good to Israel, his people, to those whose hearts are pure." But get this. "But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness." Sound familiar? "They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. They scoff and speak only evil, and in their pride they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. And so the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. What does God know?" they ask. "Does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason?" Are you picking up the vibe here? Are you getting the juice on this? "Why do evil people prosper?" is what the psalmist is asking. Because they do, and lots of them do. They prosper in ways that we can hardly imagine. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer, and for some reason the middle class pays all the taxes. I don't know why, but that's the way it is. Listen to verse 14, though. There's a little bit of change in the tone. 14 says, "I get nothing but trouble all day long, and every morning brings me pain." You hearing it? It's the other side of that equation, right? They have it easy, but I got a bum deal. "Why do bad things happen to me, God?" Listen as the psalm continues. "If I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper, but what a difficult task it is. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant, they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas as a person laughs at dreams in the morning." And then I realized that my heart was bitter, and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. We see this change in tone, and it's going to change in tone again here. He's going to start to have a little perspective. He's going to have a bigger picture, some actual self-realization in the middle of this psalm. Verse 23 continues, "Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to glorious destiny. But whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you." And if you don't catch anything else, catch verse 28, the last verse of this psalm. "But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do." I don't know if you caught that. It's good to be near to a good God. And he is the sovereign Lord. Even when the wicked prosper, even when the oppressed are exploited, right? The good and bad things of our life and circumstances and situations will fade away, but a good God is always near. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. So is God good? I mean, is he really good? Randy Alcorn wrote a book, and he talks about this, and he shares the story of his friend Ethel Hur. It's a book called What Good Is God? And Ethel had had a double mastectomy. And 2 months later, doctors discovered that the cancer had spread. And one of her friends basically asked her, and shockingly asked her, "And how do you feel about God now?" Listen to the response from this lady. She says, "As I sought to explain what has happened in my spirit, it all became clearer to me. God has been preparing me for this moment. He has undergirded me in ways I've never known before. He has made himself increasingly real and precious to me. He has given me joy such as I've never known before, and I've no need to work at it. It just comes even amidst the tears. He has taught me that he will lead me on whatever journey he chooses, and he will never leave me for a moment of that journey. God is good no matter what the diagnosis or the prognosis or the fearfulness of the uncertainty of having neither." Boy, that paints a picture of a good God and someone who can embrace a good God even in the midst of hardship. And it leads me kind of to that question that it begs the question of what is good? I mean, what is good? Micah 6:8 tells us this. It said, "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. He's told us what's good. And this is what he requires of you. We are to do what is right. We are to love mercy. And we're to walk humbly with our God." See, God is good by his character and nature. He's unchanging in his goodness. But what about you and me? I mean, am I good? Are you good? I think all of us think we're good people. Yeah, you don't believe me? If you think I'm wrong about that, that we don't think that we're good people, go ahead and ask someone. Ask anyone. Find somebody in your world and ask them and say, "Hey, are you a good person? Would you say you're more moral than the average person in our world?" And if people give you an honest take on this, they will answer something like, "Yeah, I'm pretty good." Right? I think I am probably more moral than the average person, right? And this is predictable because social scientists have done experiments on this for years and years and years, for decades. We all think we're more moral than average, right? It's remarkable how good we think we are. I mean, just ask us and we'll tell you. But the truth of the matter is, we're not good because we're good. We're good only because God is good. And because listen, you're not as good as you think you are. But God's goodness can infiltrate us and cause us to be good. So what does that look like for us to be good? I'm going to give you a couple of examples of what this looks like, how it pours out into our world. The first is this. Goodness is expressed in generosity. It's expressed in our generosity. Matthew 7:11 says this. "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" Can I tell you, goodness is evident in the gifts God has given us. Man, look around the room you're in right now. Let me ask you a question. Is the heat on? Are you comfortable? Do you have indoor plumbing? Is that working for you these days? Do you have electricity and probably a fast internet connection? I don't know how you're watching this if you don't. Is there someone you love sitting on the couch or the chair next to you? Or maybe just in the other room, someone you love is nearby. Are you looking forward to a good meal later today? Because honestly, these good gifts, they all come from a good Father who gives us these gifts. A good God, they all come from God. I would like you to take a second or two, even right now, in the middle of this message, and share with the people around you, what are some of the good gifts that God has given you? Who are you thankful for, and what are you thankful for that God has done for you? Well, just go ahead right now while you're watching this. I'll wait. If you're alone, hey, do this. Say them out loud. If you're alone, say them out loud. How has God been generous with you? If you're driving, this should be fine. People will just think you're talking on the phone. If you're actually on the treadmill at the gym, this could be a little awkward. You may have to explain it to the person Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. We're in a global pandemic. Remember the gym? Ah, the gym. Good times. Good times. Listen, God has been so good to us. He's so generous to us in our lives. Here's the second way that God expresses his goodness to us. Goodness is expressed in kindness. Goodness is expressed in kindness. Now, kindness is just goodness in action. It's when we do something good for someone and we expect absolutely nothing in return. Romans 5:8 talks about this, right? But God showed his great love for us that while we were still sinners, he sent Christ to die for us. That was his act of kindness. His goodness was who he is. But even though we were bad people, he sent Christ to die for us. See, our temptation is to do good things only to the people that are good to us, right? We show kindness to those who are kind to us. But being kind to those we love is still kindness. Don't get me wrong, it's still kindness. But the kind of kindness that changes the world is when we show kindness to those that maybe we don't love or maybe are hard for us to love. We show kindness to everyone. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people." Man, we don't get even. We do good. We do good. We do the right thing. We do the good thing all the time, every time. That's what we do because God has called us to do that. And where do we do these good things? Well, I would tell you everywhere, but let me tell you someplace to start in the middle of a pandemic. Why don't you start in your own home, the four walls of your own home? Why don't you start with the people that live under your roof, right? Is there something you can do that would be unexpected good for that brother or sister who irritates you? Will you stop touching me, right? Could you do something good for that family member that irritates you? Could you do something good for your spouse right now, right? What would that look like? Maybe you're living in conflict or maybe you're just kind of in this relationship that's just lifeless right now. What could you go out of your way to do an act of kindness that maybe they're not expecting? Maybe it's a gift that there's no reason. I just got you this. Maybe it's a text message in the middle of the day. Remember, you used to do that? Maybe it's time to send a text message in the middle of the day just telling them that you're appreciative of them or that you love them or that you care for them. Maybe you write an actual letter. Remember that? There's a pen and a paper. You used to be able to write letters. What if you did something kind to remind those people? And just because. What would it look like to do good and show kindness? What would happen if we were kind and that kindness just naturally leaked out of us all the time and it leaked onto the people around us? Because, and this is kind of the last point here, goodness, it just leaks out. Goodness leaks out. I love the way that this is said. When goodness becomes who we are, not something that we just occasionally do, when goodness becomes who we actually are, it just becomes a virtue in us and it just leaks out. Listen to Matthew 12:35. The first half of that verse says, "A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart." I love this quote. I found it this week as I was studying for the message, and it's from a gal by the name of Ann Voskamp, and she says this: "When you're overwhelmed with the goodness of God to you, you overflow with the goodness of God to others." Goodness leaks out of us when we've been impacted by a good God. Which leads me to...
So what?
All two of you, thank you. So what? God is good?
All the time.
All the time. And all the time?
God is good.
God is good. Listen, as I left for church this morning, I said to my father-in-law, as I was getting into my car, many of you know we've been living with my father-in-law since Nicole's mom passed away very suddenly at the beginning of this pandemic. And I said, "Hey, would you pray for me?" I said, "I'm preaching at 3:00 this afternoon and the message feels like it's really not coming together." And he asked, as anybody would, "So what are you preaching about?" And I said, "God's goodness." And he said, "Oh, that's easy. Look around." Now, that wouldn't be so impactful for me except for this. This is coming from a guy who's in the middle of the greatest loss of his life. This is a grieving widower who still daily faces the pain of that every day. And all he said was, if you just look around just a little bit, you'll see God's goodness. It's everywhere. And our response to God's goodness is pretty simple. You can take it for granted, or you can be thankful. You can take it for granted, or you can be thankful. Psalm 103, the first few verses says this, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins, and he heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things." You know, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving this week. And although it may not be the way you designed it, and our government and our county and our state is telling us we have to practice it in a way that maybe we weren't thinking we wanted to practice it. But the root of Thanksgiving is being very thankful to a good God who still has so many good things in our lives. I would encourage you to just embrace this holiday as a time to be genuinely thankful. Be genuinely thankful for the good things God has done for you, for the good things God has in store for you, just for how good God is, even in the middle of pain, suffering, a pandemic. Embrace that good God. I want to finish with just a short story. It comes from a book that Ray Stedman wrote, and it's about a pastor, H.A. Ironside. It was a pastor a long time ago at Moody Bible Church in Chicago, and he tells this story about H.A. Ironside was in a restaurant. Remember restaurants? That was great. Yeah, used to go there. H.A. Ironside was in this restaurant. He was sitting down to eat, right? And a man walked up and asked if he could join him, this must have been a very long time ago. People don't walk up and say, "Hey, can I just join you?" Anyway, this guy asked to join him, and he says, "Yeah, absolutely, have a seat." And as the man has a seat, H.A. Ironside, pastor, preacher, theologian guy, bowed his head and began to pray. And when he opened his eyes, the other man was looking at him, and he said, "Hey, do you have a headache?" He said, "No, I don't." He said, "Well, is there something wrong with your food?" He says, "No, I was just thanking God, as I always do, before I eat." And this man defiantly looked at H.A. and said, "Oh, you're one of those, are you? Well, I want you to know I never give thanks. I earn my money by the sweat of my brow, and I don't have to give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start right in." H.A. looked back at him without missing a beat, and he said, "Yeah, you're just like my dog. That's what he does, too." Hey, would you pray with me? God, I pray that we would just live a life of thankfulness because of your goodness. God, I pray that we would embrace this season, this holiday season, God, as a chance to be thankful in ways that maybe we haven't been before. God, these things that we're used to, that we have taken for granted in our world, have been taken from us in some ways, God. I pray that we would remember the things that haven't been taken from us, our faith, the people we love, the blessings in our lives, God, the way that you have been good to us again and again and again and again. God, you are good all the time. And all the time, you are good. God, help us to live in that thankfulness during this season. In your Son Jesus' name, amen.